Hello and welcome to the Friday, March 15th, 2013 edition of the Sands and its Storm Centers Stormcast. My name is Johannes Ulrich and I'm today recording from Sands 2013 in Orlando, Florida. Over the last couple of days, we had a number of users report that the NIST National Vulnerability Database is down. Up to today, we didn't really have much to say about it, but today NIST released that the server the NVD website is hosted on was compromised a couple of months ago. Now, this compromise was discovered last Friday after a firewall blocked suspect outbound traffic. So someone was paying attention at that point and the server was shut down. The compromise took evidently advantage of a cold fusion vulnerability that was first publicly announced in January, on January 4th, and a patch was then made available by Adobe on January 15th. According to NIST, the compromise happened before the patch became available, so before January 15th. According to Adobe, the vulnerability can be used to bypass authentication controls and then allow attackers to take control of the server, which apparently is what happened here to NIST. At this point, NIST took down two servers affected by this particular event, and there is no ETA on when the National Vulnerability Database will be back online. Evidently, some other sites that were hosted on these servers have become available already, but probably with the NVD being a more dynamic site, it may take a little bit longer to get it back up and running on a different system. A paper by Daniel Bernstein from the University of Illinois in Chicago is providing details about a possible attack against RC4 ciphers in SSL. Now, the problem with this stream cipher RC4 is that the encryption key is not totally random at the beginning of the connection. That fact has been known, but so far there wasn't really a practical attack here. Now, what Bernstein here is describing is that if an attacker is able to collect a large number of requests with identical clear text, then it is practical to derive the encryption key. The problem is that the attacker would have to collect several hundreds of millions of connections to derive the key. Now, identical requests may actually not be the problem if you consider HTTP requests, and many of these requests go, for example, to the index page or particular images on the website. But given that it takes hundreds of millions of requests, it's probably not all that much of a critical attack. The release of this attack is, however, in particular worrisome as RC4 was recommended as a workaround to the Beast attack that was released 2 years ago and affected block ciphers. If you remember, the Beast attack was actually somewhat similar, but it was injecting plain text into a connection, so the attacker was able then to manipulate the encryption keys being used by these block ciphers, and RC4 as a stream cipher was not susceptible to this Beast attack. And SkyCure Security wrote a blog about the use of malicious profiles to attack Apple's iOS. These profiles are usually not very visible to the user. A carrier, for example, may install a configuration profile by default, or the user will install it manually, for example, for an unlocked iPhone to make it work with a particular carrier. The profiles are typically signed, and the user will have to approve installation of new profiles, but as it turns out, these profiles have significant access to the iPhone's systems settings and resources. So the App Store application, for example, is limited by the iOS sandbox, while these profiles have unrestricted access to the system. Now, a user may also install profiles from a legitimate source. For example, there is this popular site, unlockit.co.nc, that offers profiles for many carriers worldwide, but it offers them via HTTP, not HTTPS. So someone could take advantage of this fact and then inject malicious profiles into the connection. Well, and one more item here for Apple users to close out this podcast. Apple today released OS 10.8.3, and this has some security content. We don't know yet what kind of security content. Apple hasn't made that public yet, but typically there are a number of critical security patches included in these updates, so I would recommend that you update expeditiously. Well, that's it for this week. So thanks again for listening, and talk to you again on Monday. Bye.